The following content is from Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.
Thank you, choir. I will be still and know that you are God. Several weeks ago, we started a series of messages called Times of Refreshing, because sometimes we get bogged down in our Christian life. Sometimes we get a little bit discouraged. We get a little bit disenchanted. And we need something to prompt us. And God has some ways that He brings refreshment into our heart when we get into those experiences. We talked about the very first week, getting into the Word of God. What is the attitude of your heart toward the Word of God? Because God, His Word refreshes us. And then we talked about worship after the shooting in Las Vegas. That was the second Sunday of this series. When David said, "What do you do when the righteous are forsaken?" God said, "You come and worship me. And you tell me how you feel and you come to me for strength." And that is refreshing. And then we discovered by commitment, I make a commitment to grow in the Lord. I give Him the first day of every week. I give Him the first comment of every day. I give Him the first dollar out of every paycheck. I give Him the first opportunity to give me direction out of every decision. And I'm refreshed. Today we want to talk about prayer. How prayer brings refreshing into our hearts and into our lives. In Luke chapter 18, if you have your Bible, if you don't, there should be one in the book rack there. Love for you to have that. If you don't have a Bible at home, take that Bible with you. It's a free gift, all right? But in Luke chapter 18, the Bible gives us what scholars, whoever they are, call a parable of contrast. A parable of contrast. In other words, it is contrasting one thing with the other. And in this parable, it is contrasting a judge with who God is. Listen to what the Bible says. Then Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Now, Jesus right there gave us the purpose of this parable. Pray, don't give up. Always be persistent. Keep on keeping on. Don't quit. Keep going back to God. That's the purpose of the parable. Now He gives us the parable. He says, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. That's a pretty audacious accusation. He didn't fear God. He didn't care about men. Why did God put us on this planet? To love Him and love each other. This judge does neither. And it goes on. It says, and there was a widow in that town who kept coming to Him with the plea, and here's her plea, grant me justice against my adversary. Grant me justice against my adversary. It is a parable of contrast. And in this parable of contrast, when Jesus gives us the reason, He says, and this is the whole emphasis today, folks. This is the key takeaway. Pray and don't give up. That's it. Pray and don't give up. So let's look at this in the story. First of all, there are two different characters. There is a powerful judge and a powerless widow. In verse 2, the Bible says that in this town there was a judge who did not fear God or care about men. In other words, this man is unsympathetic, he is callous, he is cold, he is uncaring. It is all about him. He is selfish and self-serving, and he's not afraid of God. In verse 3, we have the powerless widow. It says, the widow in this town kept coming to Him. She had a plea. Here's what she asked. Grant me justice against my adversary. We don't know what her request was. We don't know what the problem was. But here's what we know about widows. They had absolutely no rights. They had no one to turn to. They had no one to care for them. They were on their own. They were the lower class of society. In fact, the very word widow here means forsaken or left empty. And that's what people referred to her as, the widow. You know, people refer to me as pastor. What if every time I heard the word pastor, I thought forsaken and left empty? And some of you would say, well, you kind of are, you know, but that's all right, okay? Forsaken, left empty. That's what her name, every time they read, this is the widow Smith. Forsaken and left empty. And she keeps going to this judge again and again. And she is no pushover. You have a battle of the wills here. Because it says, for some time he refused. And finally he says to himself, even though I don't fear God, and I don't care about men, yet, because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice. She keeps going back. She becomes a nuisance. She pesters him, pleads with him, annoys him, and he is no match for her. He is exhausted. He gives in. He says, lest she eventually wear me out with her coming. Those words, wear me out, translated literally mean to give me a black eye, to bruise me. He's saying, I'm scared of this lady. She's going to hit me. So I'm going to give her what she wants. She's so aggressive. Is this parable describing God? Do you have to wear God out with your prayers? Do you have to go back and pester God until you wear God down? Does God not love you? Does he not care for you? Is God just waiting to get to the point of saying, okay, fine, I'll answer your prayer if you'll just get off my back? No. And that's why it's really, really important that you understand it's a parable of contrast. The parable of contrast is simply this. If this callous, uncaring judge will grant the request of this woman because she is persistent and keeps coming back. If this callous, uncaring judge who does not love God and fear God and does not love others, if he finally grants her request, what do you think it's going to be like for your heavenly Father who loves you, cares for you, your heavenly Father who keeps you, who sent his Son to die for you? What do you think his answer is going to be like? Do you see the contrast? It's not, let me show you who God is. It's Jesus saying, let me show you who God is not. He's not this judge. He's not careless and callous. He is not uncaring about you. He cares for you. He's a good father. He wants to answer your prayers. In fact, I would suggest to you that the other key takeaway from this is simply that. God is eager to answer your prayers. Look at what it says in verse 7. Will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Persistent, cry out to him day and night. Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get their justice and quickly. You don't have to pester him. You don't have to gripe. You don't have to complain. You don't have to beg. He is a God who wants to answer your prayers. Well, I think the woman gets the answer to her prayer, and I believe she's refreshed. I believe she's restored in hope. I believe that she feels taken care of, and maybe she's not forsaken as a widow. So we need to look carefully at this lady and ask ourselves, what is it about her praying that brought the refreshing? I would suggest to you a couple of three things. First of all, she maintains her focus on God. She maintains her focus on God. In other words, God wants me to remember, wants you to remember, that he alone is the source of our needs. He is the source. He is the answer to my prayers. When Paul wrote to the Philippians, my God and my God, not somebody else's God, it is a God I have a personal relationship with. My God will meet your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So when I have that relationship, when I can say he is my God, I have recognized that He is the source of the answer to all of my prayers. He is the source, and nobody else. No one else. I need to see Him as the specific source of my needs, to look to Him. The refreshing is, it reminds me of His power. It reminds me of His greatness. It focuses my attention. We have learned again and again in this series that focus on God, focus on His Word, focus in His worship, focus on commitment to Him brings refreshing. And so if you are in that predicament where you are stymied in your faith and discouraged in your walk, it's focus. He is the God who not only speaks to me through His Word, who receives me in worship, but He answers my prayer. Psalm 105 says, "Look to the Lord, go to Him for help." The second thing I would suggest is she makes her request clear. Though I don't know what her request was, the judge did. The judge knew the clarity of her request to the point he said, "I'm going to give her what she wants because she's going to hit me at some point." He knew what she wanted. She was focused. She was clear. She was concise. I think God is saying to you and me, when we pray, not only are we to be persistent, but we're to be specific. Don't be vague. Don't be general. You see, I know there are changes that God wants to make in me. Someone said prayer changes things, and I agree with that entirely. But more than that, prayer changes me. And when I go to Him with these specific prayers, and He has tapped upon my shoulder and said, "We need to change this in you," then I take it to Him, recognizing that He is the source of the answer to that prayer. And I go specifically to Him. I've been trying what I'm teaching you, and that is give God the first comments every day. This morning, I woke up, and I woke up early. And so I prayed a little while before I got out of bed. And as I was praying, something occurred to me that was true in my heart. And it's personal, so forgive me, I'm not going to tell you what it is. But it was personal to me, and it had to do with me coming to church today. And so I prayed, and I specifically asked God, "Would you do this in my life today at church?" And He is continuing to do it. But let me tell you what happened in the last service. I sat there in that chair, which is a very uncomfortable chair, by the way. I sat there in that chair, and I listened to the choir sing. And the words of their song spoke to my heart. And it was as if God was standing there. He said, "Do you sense it? Do you see it?" And I'm going, "What? What?" And He said, "I'm answering your prayer." And He was. Because it was a prayer from my heart. It was a prayer for me personally. And He just brought it out. And he said, "Is that?" I said, I chuckled to myself. I laughed to myself. People probably thought, "Well, he's not very worshipful and respectful, because I'm up here smiling and kind of me and God are having personal time." By the way, that's what worship's about. Worship's not about me and you. Worship's about me and God and you and God. And we do it collectively, but it's about meeting Him. And we were having a time, and He said, "Here it is." And I thought, yes, that's it. He wants to make some changes in my life. And He told me that today, and He did. The Bible in the book of Zechariah says, "I will test them as gold is tested, and they will pray, and I will answer them." Pray specifically, He answers. And when I pray specifically, see, let me tell you what I can do now. I can go home and write in my journal today, "This is the prayer that God answered today." And it will encourage me tomorrow and 2 weeks from now and a month from now, because He specifically answered my prayer. Jeremiah, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." Folks, nothing worthwhile is accomplished with half-hearted praying. Keep on. Seek me with all of your heart. The third thing, she evidenced a continued faith. Faith. We say, "Wait a minute, I thought we were talking about prayer here." Well, folks, prayer and faith go hand in hand. Faith is like a muscle. It has to be stretched. It has to be worked out. And I think of this woman. Every time she gets up and she's sitting there thinking, do I go see him today or do I not? If I go see him today, I might hit him. Should I go today? Yeah, I'm going today. I'm going today. And do you think it was easy? No, it wasn't easy. This judge could have judged against her. She could have been making him so mad that he was going to get angry and put her in prison. But I'm going today. Why? Because it's stretching her faith. And by the way, every time she got a no, stretched her faith. She didn't quit. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please him. And God has put her in a circumstance that is stretching her faith as she continually returns to this cranky old judge, persistently praying. Paul said to the church at Galatia, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. He's saying, hang on, be patient. The harvest is coming. Don't quit. I read a story about Reese House. Reese House ultimately was a missionary in Africa, but he was first a pastor in England. And as a pastor in England, God called him to missions in Africa. And Reese House knew that's what God wanted, so he kept asking God to supply the resources. And the resources weren't coming. So he was frustrated. He felt this call of God, but he had no resources to go until one day during his devotional time, he said it was as if God was standing beside me and said, what would you do if you had the money? And Reese House said, I almost blurted it out loud. He said, well, I would go to London, and then from London, I would take a ship to Africa. And God said, then why are you not going? And Reese House said, because I only have money to get my wife and I 50 miles away. And that's not to London. God said, Reese, go. God asked Reese a question. Am I the source of your resources? And no preacher is going to answer that with a no. Okay, trust me on this one. We may not feel it in our heart, but we're going to go to the grave saying, God, you are the source of all of my resources. Because we believe that. So God said, well, Reese, if I'm the source of your resources, and if you had the resources, you would go to London and then take a ship to Africa, go. So they resigned their church. Church threw them a little, you know, celebration, farewell party. They got on the train, and they got 50 miles down the tracks, and they didn't have any more money. And Reese is sitting there thinking, oh, what am I going to do now? I can't go back to the church. I told him God was leading me to missions. What, did I miss it? If I miss that, what if I've been missing all the sermons that I've been teaching them? I can't go back to the church. What do I do? And God came to him again and said, Reese, if I am the resource for all of your needs, what would you do? He said, well, I would go to London and I would take a ship to Africa. He said, well, then go get in line. Oh, I wish I could say I had the faith of Reese. He got up and he got in line. And one thing that I know that this missionary and I have in common, we are counters. Because the first thing he did was count the number of people in line. 18 people in line. And he knows if he gets up to the counter and he has no money, he's going to be embarrassed. I hate public embarrassment. I've told you before, I'm the guy who goes to get his hair cut, and I put my wallet in my pocket, and 5 or 7 times while she's cutting my hair, I'll reach back to make sure my wallet's there, because we know you lady hairdressers can't be trusted. You take wallets out of our pockets. You know. Sorry, Courtney. He starts getting up forward in the line, and he just tells God this time, he said, God, I'm going to feel stupid. I'm going to feel foolish. When I get up there and I don't have any money, line just kept going. 3 people in line. The first one's buying his ticket. The second one's standing there. The third one turns around to Reese House and says, I've changed my mind. I'm not going to go to London. I want you to take my money and go. And there was enough money to get him not only to London, but to Africa. You know, honestly, when I read that story, first I was jealous. I was jealous because I wished that there was a story like that to tell about me after I die. I don't know of one. But I can be like him. I can live by faith. Jesus closed this parable when he said, I tell you, quickly he'll see justice. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find any faith on earth? What's he talking about? Here we are again, back to faith. Faith and prayer go together. The story is not just about praying, it's about having faith. Why does he mention faith? Listen to me carefully. The size of your prayers show the size of your faith. The size of your prayer shows the size of your God. What do you ask him for? Reese House asked for a miracle. Do you have a big God or a little God? Look at your prayer life. What are you asking God for that if he doesn't come through, you're going to be the first one at the window with no money? How quickly do you give up when the answer is not there right now? Do you lose heart or do you keep hope? That's faith. How do I do this? Because I want to be like this woman. I want to be like Reese House. I want to keep my focus on God and I want to make my request clear and I want my faith stretched. But how do I do that? Well, Jesus told another parable in Luke with pretty much the same point. It's about a neighbor who needed some bread and he went to his neighbor and knocked on the door and woke him up at night. And the neighbor said, go away, come back in the morning. He kept knocking. The neighbor said, would you stop it? He kept knocking. It's a different setting, but the same emphasis, don't quit. And at the end of that parable, Jesus says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks on the door it will be open. Which of your fathers, now look at this, here's the contrast. Which of your fathers, if your son asks him for a fish, will give him a snake instead? I'm looking at some of you fathers. I'm suspicious of some of you. You wouldn't do that. Oh, I'm not talking about a joke. He's serious. He says, or if he asks for an egg, this is your son. If he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. And here's the contrast. If you then, though you're evil, I'm imperfect, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? See, I think sometimes we're Halloween Christians. We run up, knock on the door, throw down what we want, and run away. And God says, no. Keep on knocking. Keep on seeking. Keep on asking. Keep on, keep on, keep on. Daniel Boone, that famous settler from Kentucky, traveled all over the wilderness. One day somebody asked him, Daniel, have you ever been lost? He said, never. I've never been lost. He said, I have been bewildered sometimes for days and sometimes for up to a month. But he said, I just kept on going. Have you ever felt that way? Bewildered. You don't know where this is going. What do? You be Daniel Boone. You just keep on going. Your marriage, you don't know what to do. Your job, an illness, a boyfriend, a girlfriend. When you got diapers all over the house. Your parents, your dream, when it doesn't seem fair. This widow came to the judge. She said, this is not fair. Well, God didn't promise us fair. What God promised is, when you keep coming to me, I'll see you through. So if today you feel like the widow, hopeless and helpless, the point of the story is, don't quit. Hang in there. Don't give up. Don't despair. Turn to prayer. Let God bring refreshment into your life. That's your choice. Stand with me and let's pray. Heavenly Father, you've told us a story here that we ought to pray always and not give up. And I thank you for the story, and I pray that you would raise up a generation of people in our church who are prayer warriors, because we're never, as Christians, much deeper than our prayer life. And I know that you test us and test our faith, so today I pray for those who spiritually or physically, emotionally, their strength is wearing out. I pray for those who are struggling this morning and ask that they would turn to you. Help us to keep on asking and seeking to knock. I pray, Father, that we would open our hearts to you and let you do your work for new strength, new power, to keep on living for you no matter what. In Jesus' name. And I want to...